And now we'd like to open things up to questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Scott and Ravinder. That was very, very informative presentation, and as I had indicated, very timely. I definitely think one thing that I'll be taking out of that is and I'm just joking about this one, is I'll be going back to our CFO, asking him for my iPad 2. I want an iPad 2, not an iPad 1, as I'm always filing my expense reports on time and always in compliance. But all jokes aside, I think that was a very good point about really about putting together and putting forward incentives that don't necessarily have to be reward programs for your corporate card programs. At this time, we would definitely like to open up things to questions. As I had indicated previously, if you do have a question, just go ahead. Up at the top of your screen, you'll see a little button called Q&A. You just press on that, and you can go ahead and type in a question, and we'll read out your questions and provide the answers. To start off, I have one question here, and I'm going to kind of change the question around a little bit because I don't want to disclose a couple of names, but it's a client. It looks to be one of your current clients, Scott, and they're currently using a the question is, we currently have a BMO P-card program, and we're considering switching our blank, which is somebody else's T&E card program, to your Diners Club T&E program. Are there any differences in how you approach your rebates that we should be aware of?
That's a good question. I don't know who the competitor is that I can compare, but I would. So, and you know, typically the major players out there, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus or misrepresent their programs, but if you look at one of the major T&E providers who also offers a rewards program, I can share a couple of anecdotes there in comparison. One is that take a look at what's deducted from the rebate. I mentioned how rewards under that provider are deducted at the end of the year, and that can be a major surprise factor. We can do that too, but it might be more prudent to use a portfolio average, and what you see is what you get. But also take a look at how credit losses are handled. I know that for us, you let's say you have a 50 basis point rebate, and you don't have rewards, and you had 10 basis points of credit losses. That would be 50 minus 10 is 40 basis point net rebate, and 10 basis points is, you know, it's not horrible, but it's not good either. But this provider, some providers will double count the credit losses, so they'll deduct that from the rebate like we do, but they'll also deduct that 10 basis point from rebate eligible charge volume. So they'll deduct 10 basis points from what your rebate is. So there's another thing to consider. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we do have a couple more questions coming in here, Scott. We have, I think it's a really good question from Jim. What things should we consider when deciding between employee payment of corporate credit card versus company pay? And this is something that I get questioned on all the time, so love to hear your response on this.
And I'd like to hear yours. I know we've discussed it, Craig, but I think that the best practice, and people get confused by this, but it's the best practice would be individual bill. The employee receives the bill. They pre-populate their expense report. They submit their expense report, and the company pays all approved expenses, reimburses the employee for out-of-pocket expenses, and then it's up to the employee to pay the card provider for unapproved expenses. So I think best in class, it's individual bill, company pay. It seems to work smoother that way, and it works more in tandem with an expense reporting solution. How about you, Craig? What do you think?
I have my own views, but they're pretty close to yours. And you guys are really – we're the experts on expense reporting. You're the experts on corporate card programs, so – I'll definitely leave this one to you.
Can I throw one more thing out on that, Craig?
No. Overall, I definitely do agree with you in general on that. We have a number of other questions. The questions are definitely floating in here. So, another great one from Dave. When you are talking volume rebates or timeliness rebates, how lucrative for the clients are these rebates? And I know this one will vary dramatically based on, you know, a number of different factors, but can you give kind of a quick answer on what rebates clients are potentially looking at?
I'd love to, Craig. However, every rebate that financial incentive program that is offered to a customer is based very specifically off a number of key drivers. So, volume is obviously a major component. Rather, if you're doing $5 million in charge volume versus $100 million in charge volume or $200 million in charge volume, that's always going to make a big difference. But also the speed of pay component, just consider where you start that speed of pay component. We start ours on the Diners Club T&E card at 30 days. Every day below 30 days, you earn an extra basis point. Some of the card providers are starting it at 25. There's whether you have a signing bonus or not, but it's all driven by the number of cards in addition to volume, whether you're doing rewards or not rewards, how much of your travel is centrally air bill travel or centrally billed. Remember, as I said, the most controllable expense is your central air bill. You can pay that faster. So that is usually factored into the risk and profitability model of the card provider, a number of things like that. So my only suggestion, although I can't answer that question, is that when a card provider asks you for number of cards and how much of your spend is on air and stuff like that, they're really asking that so they can get you the maximum possible rebate that they can offer to you. So it does help to work with your card provider on that.
Great. Thanks, Scott.
So dodge the bullet on that one, Craig. Sorry.
Well, and I understand because it's very different based on the client, and there's a lot of factors that go into this. Here's one question that I can definitely answer, and it comes from Stephen. How do we get a copy of the slides? And as we had already answered to a few other people who had logged this question, we will be sending out a copy of the presentation to those that have attended as a thank you for attending. So you will get a copy of that. The next question that I have is actually from Tom, and some of these questions are really, all of these questions are really good. When you say that credit losses are deducted from the rebate, does this include fraudulent charges or lost card charges, or is it just unpaid balances?
Yeah, it's unpaid balances. It's 180-day losses is what I'm referring to as a credit loss. If you have a company liability card, for example, typically you may have with MasterCard master coverage, and that would be for employee misuse that will cover you up to a certain amount of misuse in a certain amount of instances, so long as you can prove that you've taken disciplinary action against that employee.
Okay.
So that's a different protection you have there. So, the difference is when you have to separate fraud and misuse, right, and then you also have to consider credit losses are just what goes 180 days and is written off by the card provider.
Okay, great. Next question, and I know we're really close to the time here. There are a couple more questions in, so if it's okay, Scott, I'd like to just continue with the questions, if that's okay. And those of you that need to drop off, well, thank you very much for attending. The next one that we have is from Phil. And Phil is asking, if you make the card employee liable for the card, how do you deal with the credit worthiness? And if the employee does not qualify, don't you still have to issue a card under a different liability platform? And this is a question that we get actually quite often, because depending on the organization, there are some, whether they're just out of university or college or, you know, we're coming through a bit of a difficult financial time. You know, some people's credit may not qualify for credit. Can you address this question, Scott?
Sure. There are really, three different sort of liability options out there. I mean, individual liability, when you provide an application or boarding file for a client, with their social security number or tax ID number, whatever the indicator is, depending on what country you're in, they'll do a credit check against that employee. And if there's behavior there, for Diners Club, for example, We typically look at if they've had a derogatory history with Diners Club, we'll identify that. But that's usually, and I'm not sure if that's, you know, if that's changing or not, but it's usually just looking at the derogatory history within our own program. But, you know, other times people will look at scores outside of our program, like FICO scores or what have you. In those cases, really the only way around that is to be able to give the employee a card that has a guarantee on the company level, or to give them some limitations on what they have initially, so that they may have a spend limit, and if they pay frequently, that may be revisited. The key thing is for any employee, when you issue a card to that employee, they should be in the practice of paying or doing their expense reports, you know, early on to show that there's a good pattern there. But there's other times you can do joint and several liability, where the company will take liability for a certain level of spend and the rest goes to the employee. And even with company liability, there are times that you want to basically still can't control the speed of pay of the employee, because company pay and company liability are two different things. So you would still want to monitor those employees regardless of whether it was individual liability or company liability. So there are a number of different ways to go about it, and I think that's more of a detailed offline discussion, because there are some very detailed nuances that can be done.
And definitely. And I think our last question, and this may be actually probably one of the most difficult ones to answer, I think we could probably have an entire session on this, is from Joe. And Joe is asking, what are the major obstacles in setting up a T&E program in Asia?
Wow.
I know, that was a doozy for the closing one.
I would think it's been a while since I've looked at the card profiles. I think for the most part in Asia, last I looked, there was a lot of company liability as the only option, and I may be wrong on that. It depends on where you are. The other thing is in looking at mainland China, where there's a provider that has a card program, a global provider, versus those that don't. I would say those are the top two aspects. The other thing is you have to factor in the regional travel and the size of the limits that people put on cards when there are limits available on the cards, that they don't set those limits too low, because typically a lot of travel is more expensive in Asia if they're traveling cross-continent or to other parts of the world. So the key is, right out of the blocks, you want to make sure that if you have limits on your cards, that they're high enough to support the travel patterns of those employees. Those would be about three or four, but there's many others. There's regulatory stuff out there too, but that would be a whole call. Yeah.
And there's definitely a lot of complexity when setting up programs in Asia. So I think you kind of scraped on a couple of the top ones, and definitely
Robbie,
would encourage.
Robbie, do you have any observations on Asia? Or Craig?
Not specifically. When setting up a pure card program, there is a fair bit of complexity when setting up an expense reporting solution, but not specifically on a card program. And what I maybe suggest to, I believe it was Joe that had asked that great question, is, you know, definitely the contact information for either Scott or Ravinder is up here on the screen. So, you know, feel free to shoot an email off to them, and I'm sure they'd be more than happy to provide you a little bit more background or put you in contact with someone out of their group who can provide a little bit more information to you.
And Craig, there is one thing to consider is for any global program, whether it's Asia or elsewhere, you want to look at your card provider's capabilities in terms of issuing local currency cards
mm-hmm.
in those countries. That's a key differentiator that we have, and I think that that's something that you should look at too, because that alleviates a whole lot of problems and gives you a lot more reporting efficiencies.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that we've seen with a number of clients who try and take a U.S. or North American-based card program and put it into Asia or Europe, that they tend to have issues with locally built currency. It tends to be a little bit more problematic for the end user to reconcile their reports, et cetera. But
definitely understand that. What we could do there is there are, in addition to the local currencies that we issue cards in, we can also provide with, I think it's five, it might be more, reportable currencies. So you go in the local currency, but then you have one common reporting currency so that you have an apples-to-apples comparison if you so choose.
Yeah, basically for your roll-ups. Yeah, no, that's a good idea and a good offering as well, too. So with that, we're definitely a few minutes over time, but wanted to definitely thank everyone for their attendance today. I really do appreciate you attending this presentation. Hope you found it as beneficial as I do. Definitely listening to the people that we've had on from BMO Spend and Payment Advisors, Scott and Ravinder, definitely has given me a little bit more insight into card programs and best practices for them. But definitely want to thank Scott and Ravinder and everyone for attending. If you do have any questions, please feel free to contact either Scott or Ravinder, and hope you have a good remainder of the day. Thank you all very much for attending today.